Hey there, I'm pleased to be here 9 days before Christmas, about 2 weeks before end of year, to talk with Kieran Gilmurray about the state of the art in manufacturing, right? So I'm really happy to be here and to have the opportunity to talk to you. Thanks for joining to this LinkedIn live session. Just want to make you aware, you know, we will record this session. This will be a conversation. Please put your comments, questions into the comment box so we can respond to that at the end, because we indeed wanna respond, but we will do that at the end. So please ask questions. I hope to have this very vital discussion with Kieran. The topic is about the Transformation Outlook 2024, and the idea we are having is to talk about, you know, what's in the past, but probably more as we go forward, what's happening in manufacturing while we see generative AI pick up this year, and how it's going to go forward with cloud and hybrid cloud. My name is Andreas Kühmichel. I'm the global technology lead. CTO is a short term for it, for IBM, for manufacturing and energy, with a strong focus, of course, on automakers. I mean, we all talk about automakers because we all drive probably a car, many of us. We are looking into this marketplace because it's so constantly transforming throughout the last years. So I'm happy to be here with Kieran, AI and digital transformation expert. Kieran, the world has seen and heard of you. You have seen the world. Can you introduce yourself, maybe yourself, because you can do that so much better than I could.
Thank you, Andreas, for the invite. Hello, everyone. As Andreas said, I'm the CEO of Digital Automation Robotics Limited. I'm an AI digital transformation expert. I've been in industry for 30 years, and I've been fortunate enough to win a number of awards, such as LinkedIn Top Voice in AI, recognized as top 14 people to follow in 2023, top 200 business and technology innovators, top 50 intelligent automation influencers. I've written a book on digital transformation. I absolutely adore what technology can do for business and can't wait to talk about today's topic, because it is important. It will impact you, and therefore let's have that conversation.
Absolutely. So I agree. Absolutely. Kieran, pleasure to have you here. As we said, you know, we want to look at, you know, what are the big ticket items, what are the big themes in manufacturing for manufacturers, and we should say, you know, the industry continues with their digital transformation. What have you seen? What are your thoughts on going forward in 2023 going forward?
Yeah, there's a lot happening. It's a really exciting space. So suppose if I look at the areas where businesses are investing big amounts of money and resources, it tends to be in public and private cloud. It's in AI, particularly generative AI at the moment. It's an edge, and it's also in automation to help manage and orchestrate all of these things at scale. And if you're looking for some number, Andreas, the numbers are significant. Gartner are talking about 597 billion. Forrester are talking about $1 trillion being invested in cloud alone and infrastructure by 2026. Now Gen AI has arrived. Businesses have to accelerate, you know, the multi-cloud and edge strategies and business and technology strategies like never before. I use the phrase businesses are seeking to get a return on intelligence, not necessarily a return on investment anymore. But all these things, as you know, comes at cost. It costs money to invest correctly in cloud and edge and AI. But if you want to see it working, you have to put the money into it. And we're fortunate because, again, particularly in the car manufacturing space, you're starting to see some really great examples of companies who have taken this mantle and ran with it. So, for example, I remember a little while ago reading about BMW, who are investing in AI in their manufacturing operations, where before they may have had human intervention, a human sight, looking at quality issues or logistics or planning layouts of the factories. Now they're using all of these technologies with AI-based and AI-infused tech to install camera portals and recognition systems and image into the production systems to make them more effective and more efficient and to get more value out of all of the investments they're putting in their money into. So all these areas are growing. you will see a lot more investment. Companies will want to see a lot more in return on the intelligence that they're putting into their manufacturing capabilities. Are you seeing the same, Andreas, from an IBM perspective?
Very definitely. I mean, we are moving in the same planet, right? And I think we see exactly the same, right? Maybe let me emphasize a couple of things which I think are very important from IBM's and my personal venture point. Which is one of the key topics we are seeing is the emergence of a standardization and an integration of the edge, right? So this has been, in one shape or the other, always been very important for manufacturers, right? But I think it's, and I see that happening in many of our clients, becoming even more and more important, right? That is why we pursue a strategy of hybrid cloud, which means we don't care so much which cloud the customers, the automakers are using, the manufacturers, and we want to expand into the edge. And the edge could be many. It could be in the manufacturing side where the manufacturers are very, very protective of their data, very, very protective of their intellectual assets. You know, how do you do the manufacturing of your goods, right? I keep saying, you know, what the mainframe is for banking, factory is for manufacturers, right? It's very important. It needs to be resilient. It needs to be protected. That is where the money is made, right? If the factory is at a still stand, it's not going to make money, the company. So it's very important to look at that edge. But now, increasingly, with what we call software-defined products, think of a car, software-defined vehicles, even that edge becomes more important. And what the manufacturers, not being their core competency as of today, needs to master is the complexity of really being digital across all that, right? Coming from the edge through from a remote edge, through a near edge, to a data center, into the diverse clouds, right? And I think that's a huge opportunity as we go forward. And the only thing I see with generative AI, besides being very disruptive, is that this only accelerates the need to have an architecture which is well supporting this and not becoming as complex to overturn our manufacturers, right? So that is what we are seeing in the marketplace, and that is what we see is very important, right?
Yeah, it's interesting that, because again, I think you would need to have hidden in a cave if you didn't hear the word generative AI. And I see that all the time, you know, and I'm not surprised when you realize the returns that you can actually get out of that. But, you know, for the audience, you've really started to see some standout examples in the last year, particularly in manufacturing. You know, as I remember them off the top of my head, you know, when you look at something, for example, Porsche are investing in AI for their advanced driver assistance systems, you know, Bentley configurator. You can now start to see, if you're fortunate enough to be able to afford a Bentley, how you might actually construct this in real time and how you might design it. And it's not just those things as well, though, Andreas, we're seeing, you know, those are designing and creating, but anybody who's in a production line at all is suddenly starting to put AI in to trace and optimize inventory, you know, to better optimize the materials and the supply chains that they've got, to make things more safe, you know, to detect production irregularities. And you're starting to see some huge figures. The last one, just to take a UK perspective, I think there was 56% of companies were using AI in some shape, form or other in their machine vision, in their supply chain, to get all these things working. And, you know, it goes even beyond that. And that's the beautiful thing about generative AI and the amount of places that you can actually see it in a very competitive space. You know, your maintenance, I think Skoda a little while ago were looking at improving their uptimes. And if you can get just, you know, 10 or 25% improvement in uptime, it translates straight through to your bottom line. And then on the top end, if you can start putting all of these technologies, particularly generative AI and AI, into your sales and marketing processes to drive, you know, better prices, to drive better targeting, to drive better yields. And let's take even a lowball figure of a 5% improvement when you're talking about multi-billion dollar industries. There's a lot of money to be involved. Now, why are they doing these things on top of the money and everything else? Well, look, I would say the returns speak for themselves. The need to put in multi-cloud is absolutely important. But I think you would agree with me, Andreas, the need to put the money into the right type of cloud, as you were mentioning a moment ago, And again, the need to have the right conversation in terms of having transparency around the amount of money that you're spending, investing, I think that's absolutely key. And for those, yes, I would give people's eyes to, and you're familiar with these, Andreas, you know, FinOps, AI Ops, you know, great culture, great communication between the business as well. You're seeing that in your own manufacturing setups, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's amazing, you know, to see how mature actually our manufacturing clients are already, how the market is evolving, right? Everybody's investing in generative AI, of course. I mean, because there's a competitive threat coming from this, right? We see those who master generative AI and AI are going to win probably the marketplace, right? And with that comes the need not to overdo with how you use your cloud, right? So we have seen with our toolset in automation a lot of winning and disappointing actually the cloud providers, because we were able to cut down costs in manufacturing clients in the usage, right, by rationalizing how to use the cloud, right? So with our automation, Turbonomics and FinOps acquisition up there, which we just did, right? You know, we were able to help our clients to rationalize on the costs they spend on cloud providers. But that helps them to be more rational and more organized and invest in the right things, right? Which brings business value like generative AI and how to deploy this. And I think it's, to come back to the point we discussed earlier, right? I think it's also important to have this architecture in place, you know, where you do inference, how you use the LLMs and the foundation models in the correct place, and then apply to your edge use case, right? Such as autonomous driving, such as whatever you want to use it for to optimize what you do. Why wouldn't you use AI if it can help you, right? And that is true for the car manufacturers, but also for the end users, because as we discussed earlier, Kieran, it's very important also to help the manufacturers to interact with the end user of the product increasingly.
Yeah, I think that's the joy of all of the different technologies, isn't it, yeah. Andreas? You know, it's not technology for technology's sake, but everything's coming with a purpose. And I think if we've learned anything over the last couple of years, you know, investors, car manufacturers, VC companies, everybody now wants a return on investment, a return on intelligence. And it is, you know, into cloud, it is into edge, it is into generative AI. But again, I think the key thing still comes back to, you know, having that transparency built around it. You know, I see too many companies, Andreas, still in the market, investing large sums of money in cloud, but not quite knowing, you know, one, why they're investing that money in cloud, which suggests a little bit of disalignment between their cloud strategy and their business strategy. But again, even when they do put the money into the cloud itself, it's very often not aligned. So you start to see arguments, for want of a better phrase, between the technology teams, the business teams, and the finance teams. And I would give you one example without shaming anyone at all. I've worked for numbers of different companies who spend, you know, big amounts of money on cloud, some about 200-300 million plus a year. Oh. And I sat in one particular company who the finance team used to go crazy every year with the IT team. They used to sort of, you know, guess, for want of a better phrase, how much money they would put into cloud or technology at the best of times. You know, it's last year plus or minus a certain amount of money. So rather than getting the performance that you and I know is highly achievable with a reasonable amount of effort for any manufacturer, car manufacturer, or whatever, vendor, supplier, you end up with this irrational, to some degree, argument every single year. So you end up the business not getting what it wants, IT not quite getting what it wants, and the finance team, nor do they get what they need. And that overinvestment, as you know, wastes money. So all of a sudden, I use the example of a large education company who ended up in these disagreements, or a large cybersecurity company. I could go on and name lots of them, but customers weren't getting what they want. So everything slows down when finance turn off the tap. The business don't obviously get the rewards that they want, and IT gets a hard time. The alternative is, of course, you put in too much money, yeah, last plus a return. IT then are spending over budget. Finance are going crazy. Customers are getting too good a service. But realistically, you're wasting the money, because the money could be invested in edge and all of these other AI technologies and cloud technologies that could be put to better use, frankly. Have you seen that yourself?
Oh,
or
yeah,
am I the only one who's come across these?
Yeah, so for us, it's very important, you know, and for me, it's also very impressive to see, you know, how quick the industry is picking up on open standards, right? Why? Because it's so valuable, because then you can make a choice for the optimal deployment option, right? And that goes for all of our watsonx platform, which we have just announced this year, which for us was very important, extremely important, because we are basically offering a value proposition to the market, which aligns fully with our hybrid cloud strategy, right? You know, make a choice of your deployment option for the benefit of cost optimization, for the benefit of best return on intelligence. I like that term, Kieran. You see, I will pick it up now. We call it the Kieran paradigm now. To really help you to make the best deployment selection for your architecture, right? And how you capitalize on using generative AI. So I think absolutely we see that happening. There's a lot of movement in the industry, a lot of energy in that marketplace. And again, I think we from IBM perspective, have a good response to that. They're saying, you know, the open hybrid cloud is giving you the best broad option to deploy wherever it's best for you, right? For the best of your value. Do you see something like that as well on your side?
No, absolutely do. As you and I were talking earlier on and over the last numbers of days, like, there's so many movements. You know, you talked earlier on, you and I, about clouds moving to more electric, essentially the iPad in the middle with the data that needs to transfer everywhere. Now we have data regulations, data privacy, data rules in between different companies. And if folks walk through that, now it's regular software updates, it's privacy checks, it's making sure that all these systems are secure. How do you do all that at scale if you're not investing in edge, if you're not investing in cloud? And I love you used a phrase, I think it was last week. Now you have to keep me correct on this, Andreas. You know, it's about bringing the factory to the, or bringing the cloud to the factory and factory to the cloud. It was one or the other, but it was so good. You know, when you look at the challenges behind cloud and manufacturers trying to put all this in place, it really is an input-output challenge, an infrastructure or data challenge. So having edge, having cloud, having AI, allowing each of those to work together, and it's not hard to get them to work together over time, putting intelligent automation in or AI ops in to allow you to orchestrate all of these things and orchestrate all of the bandwidth and every piece of data that needs to go up and down, and allow you to gain control over what's actually happening, and using FinOps to gain transparency over where everything's going in terms of money and data and value and everything else. All those things combined, I think, are absolutely key. And I'm starting to see far more conversations around those, because companies are interested in getting a return on their value. And generative AI is just accelerating those things. You know, now generative AI really is the promise of that return on intelligence. But without the right infrastructure, without the right architecture, without the right AI operations in place to allow you to orchestrate at scale, without FinOps in place to allow you the financial discipline and the transparency and the cultural shift to allow business and IT and technology to actually work together to make sure that you're actually delivering the business strategy that you need to deliver, and do that in value or in the right way to get the performance you need. If you're not doing all of that, then you're missing components and chunks of your strategy. And again, I've seen it. I worked for a large cybersecurity company who were, for want of a better phrase, underinvesting in cloud because they didn't know their numbers. And when they did know their numbers, the oddity was that they didn't actually cut their spending significantly. They moved the spending into the right place. So where the IT teams had been complaining because the customers were complaining about the performance, once the money went into the areas that the customers were actually using, you start to notice a multiplier effect. So they had their numbers right. They had their transparency right. They had the strategy and communications right. So all of a sudden, the money went in the right place. The customer performance improved markedly. The customers then weren't ringing their sales staff, the customer relationship managers and the help desk to complain about the technology. Those teams were then not under pressure and could actually get on with adding value to customers. And the IT team, instead of getting constantly harassed by the customers and the sales team, the finance team and everyone else, could get on with doing a really great job. So I've seen everything that you're describing. I would love to see more companies, though, Andreas, taking advantage of some of the technologies that you mentioned to gain greater clarity and greater control over their money. Because those companies sitting at the moment going, I'm not sure, they need that transparency. Those companies who are sitting at the moment doubting whether they're getting value from cloud, trust me, cloud, edge, AI, absolutely essential technology to allow you to compete and scale and succeed in the modern economy. But if you don't run it right, make it transparent and control it correctly, you will never get a return out of it like most other things in life.
Cannot agree more, right? So let me close with one perspective on one aspect you were putting out, which I think is important, is this data privacy and control of the data, right? Which our clients particularly have, right? So huge concern about, you know, where is the data going? Where can I do this? And the other architectural principle which you use, which is similar to the cloud, to the factory, as opposed to the factory to the cloud, is that we keep data where it is, where it's being generated, best case, and bring AI to the data, as opposed to the data to the AI in the cloud. I think that's a very important term. So I think we agree, you know, that we see a lot of movement, we see a lot of interest and maturing of the use cases the manufacturers apply for using and capitalizing on generative AI. I think we would agree that this is going to be the theme of 2024 going forward, and probably even beyond, because there's such a huge amount of work which we all need to take care of, right?
Yeah, it's the amount of work, and the people are getting the return on investment out of it once they put it in right. So I absolutely agree with you. 2024 is going to be a massive year for Gen AI, AI in general, cloud edge. And as you say, I think the more companies that succeed, it creates that flywheel effect. There'll be more stories coming out about the winners, and therefore more people will want to invest and get involved. Now's the time to do that. Why wait until 2025?
Yeah, yeah. And either you do it now, or maybe the competition will do it for you, right?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, so I see we are already at the end of the call, right? Hard to imagine, right, Kieran? I could go on, because I think it's you know, that's where we all engaged with, right? So I appreciate your time here, right? So I want to just point out, you know, we are at CES. Maybe we can meet there and have further discussions about this. We have further publications out there. With our Institute for Business Value. So just so you have that pointer here, right? And we will share that video here, right? One more question, right? A big theme which we are seeing is sustainability, right? Any thoughts about what to do with generative AI for sustainability in our market?
Yeah, look, there's probably a couple of things. We can't deny the fact that LLMs take up large amounts of energy. You know, they really do. There's two sides to that, though. We can use that technology to run the analytics, to actually get it fed with data and ask it questions how it can improve upon itself. That we will see happening increasingly. The second one is, and this is always a hope, Andreas, you know, the more we put into cloud, and when you look at the figures that I mentioned earlier on, you know, Forrester predicting $1 trillion in cloud by 2030, I actually think it's going to be far higher, because the benefits of cloud and edge, and if you look at the take the car manufacturing industry, where everything is moving to be data driven in every shape, form or other, the only way that's really going to work is cloud. Those figures are going to go through the roof. What you will start to see is companies removing their own infrastructure in volume and moving that into the cloud. Now, companies will still have to have their own infrastructure because of data privacy and other reasons, but I definitively see a volume of growth in cloud. And when companies do that and invest in less individual machines and technologies, then hopefully we've got more shared resource, which should reduce energy consumption. But I really will start to see generative AI being used to help inform companies how to use generative AI in a more ESG-friendly manner, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, and it will hopefully help us to solve the environmental situation we have much quicker, right? So, Kieran, let's say thank you. Was an absolute pleasure. Maybe we do it again. Maybe we do it in private. or again in one of these sessions. Thanks everybody for joining. For those who celebrate, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Maybe see you at CES or elsewhere in 2024 and going forward, right? So the future is going to be exciting and bright. Thanks.
Thank you.